This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Thursday. And we have a huge hour for you because we're going to go through all your emails. And they are endlessly. We're talking history of the Middle East region. That'll be a big thing. We're going to talk Thomas Jefferson here in a moment. We're going to talk. You know what? Let's talk about the invasion of Europe. Our invasion. Quit. This guy says, Jesse, with the invasion of Western Europe from foreigners invited by these Western leaders and threats by these same leaders to recognize Palestine, should the U.S. invade and conquer Western Europe now before we evidently send our next generations to do it? Well, that's a little heavy. First of all, let's have an honest discussion here. The United States military is incredible. It is. Our money has allowed us to build a military that is several times larger than any European country. More modern, larger, all those things. Conquest is one of those things that dudes love to talk about. We love to read about. We love to read about historical conquerors of all kinds. Doesn't matter. Pick your conqueror. We're fascinated by it. Fascinated by the battles, the reasons, everything else. But conquest is also very, very, very difficult to pull off successfully in any lasting way. I'm not talking about a battle here, taking out a city here. Real, actual conquest. Very, very difficult. And it's more terrible than you can imagine. Whenever you're talking about conquest, you're talking about dead women and children. The problem for so many countries, ours included, it's not as bad of a problem now with Trump in there, but the problem for Western countries is not external. Europe's problem is not whatever's happening between Israel and Palestine in any given moment. Europe's problem is not Russia-Ukraine. That's not the problem. The problem is Western countries are mostly led by people who don't love their country. They don't love the country they're leading. They look at the country. We've done this before, but remember, there are three things almost every Western leader has in common. Remember this. Burn this into your mind, and it'll explain so much of why you see what you see. One, no love of country. We'll come back to that. Two, no connection to normal people, how real people live. They grew up in America here, too, as essentially royalty. It's all private schools and manicured college campuses. These are people who've never worked with their hands. That they don't understand what it's like to not be able to pay the bills one month. They just don't understand that. And let me see if I can put this last part a different way. I've always said they see themselves as kings and queens. Maybe I should just reform that and say they see themselves as rulers. They are ruling a country, not serving it, not protecting it. And that's, I think I'm going to switch to that. They see themselves as rulers. The country, how leaders, good leaders, see their country is they have a duty to that country. They have a responsibility to that country to serve it, to protect it, to protect its people. That's how a good leader looks at his country. an evil leader thinks his country is there to serve him and his interests. Over a long enough period of time, a lot of this comes from our education system, which is poisonous. A lot of this is spiritual. Over a long enough period of time, what we lost was leaders who believed they were there to serve and protect their country. This is a huge, huge reason why Donald Trump's popularity is hard to quantify. Why? What is it? There are things about Donald Trump on their face that should make him unpopular. Why is Donald Trump, why has his popularity been so impenetrable for people on the right? Whereas if another politician had done or said some of the things Donald Trump said, it would sink them, or at least it would sink their popularity. But Trump can do it, and Trump can get away with it. Trump, what's something he did recently? Trump dropped an F-bomb on camera. Now, look, I'm not here, again, I'm not a nun. It's not that I was mortified or anything like that. But traditionally, given the right's more evangelical base, dropping an F-bomb on camera, that would really get some serious pushback for any politician, any Republican for sure, who did something like that. You probably didn't even remember he said it. You probably don't even care. He said it twice, Chris. It wasn't a big deal. Didn't make a blip. Why does he get away with so many things others didn't? Donald Trump loves the country and everyone can see it. He does. For any of his flaws, for any of the ways or even serious policy matters that you may disagree with him on or I may disagree with him on, it's a breath of fresh air to have somebody constantly praising America. Now, that's actually sad when you think about it, because that should be the bare minimum for every party, right? And that was forever in this country. Whether Democrat or Republican, you never trashed America, no matter what. Go look. Do yourself a favor. It may be boring unless you're one of these nerds like me. I will do this, but spend 5 minutes. I'm not asking you to spend an hour because you'll get bored. Spend 5 minutes. Go to, it'll be on YouTube, I'm sure. Go to YouTube and look up a John F. Kennedy speech. Maybe you don't like Kennedy. That's fine. I don't care. Maybe you love Kennedy. I don't care. None of that matters. John F. Kennedy was a Democrat. John F. Kennedy gave speech after speech after speech talking about the greatness of this country. That wasn't unique. That's how American presidents talked about America. But since this poisonous anti-American, anti-Western communism has worked its way through our political system and France's and England's and everything else. Yeah, that's a good point, Chris. Look up the space race speech. Since this poisonous anti-Americanism has worked its way through the Democrat Party, it's now built in that when a Democrat gets elected, they'll crap on this place every chance they get. Foreign, domestic, wherever they're given a speech. You can't even get one sentence out of a Democrat without them at least having to put a qualifier in there. Even if they say something like, America's been great, even though we haven't always been perfect and we've made a lot of mistakes, they can't get one sentence out without having to let their animals know, hey, I hate America like you do. It does suck. Love of country is a critical thing for leaders of a country. And that is what is killing the West. And that is what is killing Europe right now. It is killing it. The people who lead, you know, Starmer, all these people, the people who lead the UK, anyone really in the EU, most of these countries, it all comes down to love of country. It's not just that they see themselves as kings and queens. It comes down to love of country, and they believe the country is there to serve them. You know, obviously Germany has some rocky parts in its history, huh, Chris? So there's some ugly German history out there. I get that, but that's a cool country, isn't it? I've been there. Beautiful. You take a little sail up a German river where there are castles and mountains on the side of it. It's sweet. A really cool, food's pretty good. Yes, it is, Chris. Very good. Sweet country. Cool traditions. Some of them, cool traditions. Merkel got elected in Germany and promptly brought in as much of the Islamic world as she possibly can. And now there are rapes, murders, and acts of terror all over Germany. You think that woman, that hag, you think she ever laid down her head at night and stressed about what she was doing to Germany? Not one time. Maybe she stressed about being held accountable for it. I doubt it. She never cared. Doesn't care now. The destroyer of a great country. We can conquer Europe all you want, to answer your question. Nothing can save the West until the West gets leaders who love it. You don't even have to be geniuses. You know, they don't have to be brave. They don't have to just love the place. Loving the place is enough. I think that's a Beatles song, Chris. What? I don't know. I'm not a huge Beatles fan. I'm a Hillsdale fan. That's something. Does the history of these countries fascinate you at all? Tell you what, here's something that may interest you. Western civilization. What is it? How is it different than Eastern civilization, than other civilizations? If I may, go look up Hillsdale's free online course about Athens, ancient Greece. That's where so much of this comes. Ancient Greece doesn't get the credit it deserves for, it wasn't America. I'm not saying that for saying, hey, why a king? Why shouldn't the people get to choose their leaders? Our founders thought ancient Greece was extremely important. Hillsdale will teach you about it for free. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go. They'll teach you about it for free. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I won't be in tomorrow. Don't yell at me. I'll be back on Monday. We'll do Medal of Honor Monday. We'll have a good time like we always do. Let's get back to all these emails. Dear Pink Flower, I'm a huge history nerd. Thomas Jefferson thought the Federalist Party stance was not enough for small government. I wonder what he would think about his Republican Party today. Just a question from a dumb electrician in Virginia making more money than most college grads. His name is Justin. I keep telling you boys about the trades. Anyway, look, I think the Founding Fathers would be equally mortified and not surprised at what has happened to the country and the size of our government today. And what I mean by that is, look, I'm gonna play something for you. And this is Scott Bessent, who I like, very sharp, been an excellent diplomat. This is Scott Bessent talking about the $1,000 Trump accounts.
The $1,000 baby bonds that every American citizen, every newborn is going to get. The Democrats hate this program because it brings capitalism and markets to every American, not just their constituents at the upper end. Over time, the compounding is going to be an incredible supplement to Social Security, not a replacement. It is a.
There's not a single founding father who wouldn't have pulled off his wig and screamed at the sky if you told him there would be a Republican one day talking about handing $1,000 of the public treasury's money out to kids who were born. We don't think about it now because we're so used to the, well, they give out this, so we should give out that, and they gave this, so we should give that. But the founding fathers would be mortified that that is the position of anyone in the United States of America. Let me dip my fingers in the public treasury and hand out some cheddar cheese to the American people. Mortified. But they wouldn't be surprised. Remember what Benjamin Franklin so famously said? When a woman asked him, "What kind of government have you given us?" after they got done forming the thing. "A republic, ma'am, if you can keep it." The founding fathers knew, and they were not perfect. You know, we honor them, and we should, for what they gave us, for the life they gave us, their work, their bravery. That's what gave us the kind of country we have now. But they weren't perfect, and they knew men were imperfect. And they knew, they wrote about it, they knew over time, freedoms erode. Government grows and freedoms erode. They knew that would be the case. And they warned repeatedly that if we lost our moral way, then we would not remain free. Now, we don't like discussing that because it sounds like you're moralizing or judging people or preaching to people or something like that. But the truth is, they all talked about this. Even Jefferson, who wasn't exactly a Bible believer. Jefferson, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was an atheist. Do you think so, Chris? From his writings, I know he references God a lot, but I kind of feel like that was him tossing a bone to the other founders. But even Jefferson talked about the necessity of a free people being a moral people, because if they weren't, then freedoms would be abused and the people would eventually need to be corralled by an authority here on earth. They talked about it. Adams, that was basically John Adams' quote, that this government is wholly inadequate for anything other than a moral people. And we don't like talking about that because it makes us uncomfortable, because who is moral? I'm certainly not. I'm not. But as a whole, as a people, we want to discuss capitalism. We want to talk about taxes and spending and illegals and things like that. But here's something for you. How many of America's problems, all of them, including illegal immigration or whatever, how many of them would be solved if we had half the number of broken homes we have now? But that's such a large problem, and one that's out of your hands, isn't it? It's out of my hands. I can't fix it. I can't fix myself, let alone fix other people. I'm not looking down my nose at anybody. But the truth is, our founders would be mortified at what has happened to our country. But they would not be surprised. They knew that this is how it goes, especially once you get rich as a country. And there's nothing wrong with getting rich. It's better than being poor as a country, I mean. It's better than starving, scraping for food, famine all the time. I like that our poor people still eat in this country. That's a good thing. That's awesome. I like that our poorest people have a refrigerator in their house. I like that. Running water. That's good. But wealth like that as a country also, it breeds complacency. At some point in time, you stop being hungry. You stop striving. You got the air conditioning. You got running water. You got some Kraft Mac. Time to have some Mac and Weenies for dinner. Life's good. You got a full belly. Hard to keep striving. Let's move on. Someone wants to talk about the Holy Land, the history of it. Ew. That'll be ugly. So you know we'll do that. I'm sure that'll bring in some more emails. Before we do that, let me talk to you about working with somebody who's awful. Who knows more about that than me? When you work, what, Chris, I didn't name you. Why do you think I'm automatically talking about you? When you work with someone who drains your life, it's brutal. ZipRecruiter knows that. ZipRecruiter knows every office has a Chris. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to go through what I go through. There are wonderful employees out there who will actually make your company better. Maybe you're expanding and need someone new. ZipRecruiter has it. Maybe it's time to dump the dead weight like I need to. ZipRecruiter has it. ZipRecruiter is the number one hiring site for a reason. They'll find you someone fast. That's maybe the best part. We're not talking 2 months away. Now, today, ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, any of it all week or ever, you can go download it free. Go subscribe so you never miss a minute. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, and I'm obviously totally being selfish. I just want you to download it more because it makes me look better. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, I love your show. Me too. I especially love how you explain history so well. It would be wonderful if you could explain why both the Jews and the Palestinians lay claim to the Holy Land. I specifically need to know how long the Palestinians have been there. I have a friend who insists that land originally belonged to Palestine and the Jews have no claim to the land. She says, sorry, Chris. Would you take the time to do a quick overview of the history in that part of the world? Says I can read her name. Her name is Nanette. Okay, so let me do this as briefly as I possibly can. Let's rewind all the way, because she did go on to say, if you could go all the way back to Abraham, it's, look, I can't, look, that's too much for even a three-hour show, but I'll do this the best I can. All right. God calls Abraham out, and he says, hey, there's something else for you. Go forth. Let's fast forward. We're doing a lot of fast forwarding here. Believe me, a lot of fast forwarding. The Israelites find themselves in captivity under the Egyptian Empire, which was one of the longest-lasting big boy empires in history. For some reason, they don't get any love. I actually don't know why they don't get any love. Chris says they're too small. I don't know. Maybe it's because of where they are now. Anyway, long-lasting empire. The Israelites find themselves in captivity underneath the Egyptians. Obviously, people know the story of Moses. God calls Moses, go get my people out of there. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't listen. God does a bunch of horrible crap to Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh is like, please leave. Moses, Israelites take off, cross the Red Sea, so on and so forth. Now the Israelites, they're heading towards the Promised Land. Why is it called the Promised Land? Because God promised it to them. They're heading to the Promised Land. But remember, there are no unconquered lands except for crappy lands. If you would like to take a piece of ground and you don't want to take it from somebody, you're going to have to go to the worst places on earth that nobody wants. The Israelites didn't show up to this extremely fertile, wonderful piece of ground and find empty space. Hey, vacancy, come on in. They saw others, and they proceeded to conquer the others with a little bit of help from the Lord, creator of the universe, which doesn't hurt when he's on your side. They take it. Okay. Israel establishes an empire. I don't know if I should call it an empire. A kingdom is what it turned out to be. A kingdom very similar to the lines you see today. Not exact. That is not exact, but it's the same area. They establish this kingdom. Eventually, they fall out of favor with God. Kingdom is broken up into Judah versus the rest of Israel. Okay, I'm really trying to fast forward through a lot of this stuff. They're eventually pillaged by the Assyrians, the Babylonians. They lose God's protection, and they start getting attacked and broken up and attacked and broken up. But do keep something in mind. During all this, the slavery, the conquest, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the everything else, there are still people there, and today, they would be Jewish people today, who, well, actually, I would probably lump a lot of Christians in with that, too, who believe that this is the land God promised the Israelites. It's still the promised land. They are connected to it. Now, because they have, remember, it's a monotheistic religion, Judaism. There is only one God. It is Yahweh. Because it's a monotheistic religion, Rome eventually comes knocking. This is a long time afterwards. It was actually Pompey Magnus, who we've brought up several times. Rome eventually comes knocking. Hey, I like this place. I think we'll take it. Rome did. But Rome had an interesting way of conquest, and it was not always the same. Sometimes they'll come in and just genocide the whole freaking place. That is not how they really preferred to do business. No. You guys stay. That's fine. It's all good. You stay. We're going to need you to pay some taxes, and we're going to need you. You know, you're going to bow before the throne, but you can stay. Hey, go to synagogue. Sounds good. The Jews were famously a nightmare for the Romans under this system. A lot of this comes back to the monotheistic religion. It comes back to their connection to the land. They started having rebellions. And when I say rebellions, I don't mean 100 people got uppity after the Sabbath and started making some noise. They would raise armies, 20, 30,000 man armies, and they fought, and they actually beat the Romans on occasion. But it was still the Roman Empire, and they just did not have the manpower. They didn't have they were not going to win. Finally, the Romans have, the Jews have another one. The Israelites have another one, and the Romans have freaking had enough of it. They cast them to the winds. Pause for a second. I know you're probably asking about Palestine, which, remember, that word is in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Go, Zephaniah? It's in the Bible. Okay. They were a people around there, too. They were a people there, too. The Romans take the Jews, and they say, you have to leave. All of you. That's known as the diaspora, the Jewish diaspora. They scatter them. How did so many Jews end up in Russia, all over Europe, places like that? The Romans said, get out. They ended up going and settling in other places. Now, once they were gone, the Roman Empire comes, goes, so on and so forth. The Palestinian people are still around. They're still there. Eventually, this is years and years and years later. We're talking, you know, the 1900s by this point in time. The Jews have not lost their connection, the spiritual connection to the land. They decide they want to come back. They begin trying to reconquer this area from the Palestinians later on. Now, they're reconquering it in different ways. In a lot of ways, they're just moving in. They're buying up real estate. It's one of the best ways to move in. They are shipping in arms. There are clashes. They're also lobbying political leaders, including in America, all over the world. Back up this effort. Back up this effort. Back up our effort. We're trying to, we deserve a home. We deserve our Holy Land back. They are reconquering the area. Post-WW2, I mean, really, this was all going on during World War I and things like that, but post-WW2, this gets way more official. Okay, that's yours now. The problem is everybody has a claim to it because everyone's been there. Remember, there were people there before the Israelites got there because they started conquering all of them. The right of conquest is a thing whether you like it or not. The conflict you see now, by the way, your friend who said the Palestinians have a right to it, you who say the Israelites have a right to it, you know who has a right to it? The one who took it. Because it's been taken before, and that's the way every plot of land is. The problem the Israelites run into now is the problem many countries have run into, ourselves included. They didn't take all of it. You tried. Now, there were reasons, remember. The Western nations were hesitant. Hey, you can't just kick out all the Palestinians, so they were getting outside pressure. There's a lot of reasons to it. What have we talked about before? Half conquest doesn't work. We're going to take Israel, and you guys can just have this little place called Palestine. Well, how's that worked out? It doesn't. Now, what was it? I think it was today. I think it was a couple hours ago. Hamas just said, nope, no more ceasefire. It's on again without end. Either take it or don't, because this stuff continues until you take it. That was as fast as I can possibly blow through that. All right. Chris, that's got to be some kind of a record. And believe me, I skipped a lot. It's a very fascinating thing if you'd like to learn about it. You know what else is fascinating is Relief Factor. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how Relief Factor is able to do what it does. It's not a drug. It is drug-free. It's a supplement you take every day. Just take it with breakfast. That's what I do. And what happens is the pain, the nagging, chronic, ongoing, debilitating pain, I don't care where it is on your body, every day you wake up and you will find it's getting turned down a little bit more and a little bit more. What's happening is the Relief Factor, it's supporting your body's natural response to the inflammation. And the pain is getting turned down in your life. And one day you wake up and your back doesn't hurt anymore. Your head, your foot. What would that be like? Call 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. You're 3 weeks away from feeling so much better. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Thursday. Remember, I will be back on Monday. On Monday, I'll be back. So you're going to have to do without me until then. So we don't have very much time here. Let's get through as many Ask Dr. Jesse questions as we possibly can. Hey, Jesse, why doesn't some rich person purchase for the American people a conservative network channel so they can know the truth about things? That's what will save the country. It's hysterically funny because nobody would vote for Democrats if they knew. Why doesn't somebody buy NBC or MSNBC or CBS so they can have free access to the truth? We love listening to you on the radio, but with your talent, you should be on TV. I'm on TV. I'm on the first TV. I have a television show on the first TV every single night at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Right after this show's done, I do the first TV. But setting that aside, we have opportunities that we never had before. We just did. I was actually watching, I think it was on Netflix, I was watching a Vietnam documentary they have called Turning Point. I am not recommending it. I actually stopped after about the third or fourth episode. Oh, Chris, it had Dan Rather and all kinds of dirty commie gobbledygook in there. There was some interesting political angles to it and things like that, but I just didn't care for it. I've watched a lot of documentaries. It was not one for me, so I dropped it. Anyway, but one of the interesting things, they were talking about Walter Cronkite, who was before my time. If you're older, you remember him. I do not. I don't want to act like I used to watch Walter Cronkite. I didn't. I obviously know who he is. Famous newsman back then. Well, Walter Cronkite went over to Vietnam. This was a big deal. They made a big deal of it during the show. He went over to Vietnam, and then he came home, and instead of just presenting the news, he actually editorialized, whereas previously, at least they made it look like he hadn't been doing that. The network didn't want him to. Nope, just give the facts. This is what's happening. That's happening. Okay. He comes back and craps on the war. Comes back, says, we're not winning. I forget exactly how he put it. He essentially goes and says, I'm not sure we can win. Now, picture this. The president, when he said that, was LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson. LBJ was rocked by the fact that Walter Cronkite got up on the news and trashed it. In fact, LBJ said he just cost us Middle America. One anchor. Think about the power of that. One news anchor, not an elected politician, one news anchor gets up, craps on the war, and it seriously swayed America's public opinion of the war. Why? There weren't options. If you wanted to know what was going on in the world, there's no podcasts. Yes, there were radio shows, of course, but you have radio, and there weren't that many of those. There weren't many radio shows, certainly not many national ones. There weren't radio shows. There were no podcasts. There's no 25 channels, 100 channels, 300 channels on the dial. You got two, three. If you want to know what's going on in the world and you didn't pick up the newspaper that day, you're watching Walter Cronkite. Everybody in the country funneled into one human being's mind. One human being's what he sees, what he hears. He possessed so much power, he torpedoed the war. Now, I realize there was a lot more than Walter Cronkite, but that was a huge, huge moment for the country. Well, tell me the news anchor who can do that today. On any side, by the way, any side. Pick your side, left, right, middle, wherever. There's nobody, not a single person. Who's the most powerful news person on any side out there right now? Maybe Tucker Carlson? Probably, I would guess. And hugely powerful voice. Tucker Carlson can't steal middle America. If he came out tonight, and he wouldn't, but if he came out tonight and just savaged Trump, Trump's a big, stupid idiot. Everyone should hate Trump. Trump sucks. Trump this, Trump that. I don't think it would even hurt his approval ratings. Because people now have options. They can go learn who they want to learn from. They can listen to what they want to listen to. They can watch what they want to watch. We don't need somebody to purchase ABC, NBC, CBS. They're rotting. They're dying on the vine. And the only people still supporting them, they're dying too. I'm going to read something to you. This is from Pew Research. This is the demographics right now. 18 to 29-year-old men, they're Republican by 44 points. 18 to 29-year-old women, all thought of as being lefties, they're Republican by 14 points. 30 to 49-year-old men, Republican by 15. 30 to 49-year-old women, Democrat by 3. Right back to being red. 50 to 64-year-old men, Republican by 3. 50 to 64-year-old women, Republican by 1. But then we get to 65-plus. 65-plus men, Democrats by 6. 65-plus women, Democrats by 2. Obviously, it's not all-encompassing. Please don't email me. I don't like that. That's not what I'm saying. The only people still consuming ABC, NBC, CBS for their nightly news are 65 plus years old. Surprise, surprise, those are the dirtiest, most committed commies in the United States of America. Why is there such a disparity between 65 plus and virtually every other demographic? The other demographic has already changed the channel. We are winning. You know that, right? It's going to take time, and it's going to take effort. We didn't get it overnight. We won't get it back overnight. We are winning this thing in part, in large part, because people have options, and they're taking advantage of those options. Now, I want you to do something for me before we check out for the weekend. I want you to save a life going into the weekend. A baby's life. I want you to go give preborn $28 right now. I think you'll find that you feel better after you're done. Preborn, when we're enjoying the weekend, they're going to be out there giving free ultrasounds to women who have decided to have an abortion. That baby doesn't stand a chance unless preborn can introduce the mother to the baby through ultrasound. When she hears the heartbeat, it doesn't matter what the culture has told her. That thing's alive. It's not a clump of cells anymore. It's not an inconvenience. It's her baby. Help preborn save that life. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. Now you put your phone down after you're done giving to preborn and go enjoy your weekend. I'll see you Monday. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.